Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, the podcast where we delve into the world of CMS systems and their crucial role in website and web content development. In each episode, we'll explore the reasons why founders, CEOs, CTOs, and CMOs of web content development companies need CMS systems to thrive in the digital landscape. Get ready to uncover the secrets behind successful website management, content creation, and seamless user experiences. Here's your host, Jonathan Ames.
Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, a podcast by Butter CMS. Here we share insights on the intersection of content and web development, how you can align these two often competing forces to improve efficiency and business results. Joining us in this episode is Luis Rodriguez, head of SEO at Compare the Market. He has more than 10 years of experience in online marketing and SEO, previously worked at companies like Uber and Booking.com. Welcome to the show, Luis.
Hey, Jonathan, how are you? Very happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you here too. Tell us a little bit about your background and obviously some big companies you worked for.
Yeah, definitely some big names, but I also appreciate the small names. Perhaps to take it to the beginning, I started my career in SEO about 12 years almost when I started selling rocks. So essentially, my job was to do online marketing, as it was called back then, and reaching out to clients to buy marble, granite, these kinds of things. Not the sexiest product, if you will, but it was a topic. And given the time zone difference with my market, which was Mexico in specific, I started to think about how can I bring more leads? Doesn't require me to be awake at 2 a.m, 3 a.m, these kinds of things. So yeah, there you go. Google guidelines, essentially, to get better rankings. And that's kind of like what got me started into the craft. Later on, I moved on to companies like CouponNation, that is part of Rocket Internet, big conglomerate here in Europe, where I got more professional training, if you will, like people that have been doing SEO, where links was all about links, essentially. And yeah, I started to work on more interesting things, going to Southeast Asia to learn about my first comparison experience there, which was really interesting, going to finance, how sensitive is the topic in different places. It was also my first experience dealing with languages that I could not possibly understand.
Yeah.
It was tricky coming from Mexico and then starting to optimize websites for Thailand.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a challenge there, and it was not enough time to learn them all, if you will. So that was really cool. Moved on to start looking into bigger websites, perhaps more complex, specifically with Seek Asia. It's a job aggregator, quite large in that region, where, yeah, well, millions and millions of pages, where we start to notice a lot of the intersections between programmatic SEO, if you will, and perhaps a more product approach to it, because really the content was the product, and giving ways for people to discover that was really kind of like the essence of the position. Moving on to Uber, where I generally had one of the best times ever. It's really one of the best companies that I've worked for, one of the best teams as well. Really innovative, quite changing, fast-paced environment. And there, initially, my task was to look after the Latin American markets with a small but really powerful team that I really miss. And later on, moved on to experimentation, which is really something that I've been specializing over the last few years. Understanding how to do A/B testing for SEO, which is quite a tricky thing in general. And yeah, here we are now based in London after quite a lot of different countries. My dog has been chasing me around all of these different countries as well, which bless him, now reporting from London, which is the sun is starting to come out. It takes a while for the sun to come out around here. And that's a little bit about me in a nutshell.
That's excellent. I mean, I understand the going multilingual with SEO is quite a challenge, especially when you don't have any kind of understanding of the language. I've actually started out in SEO, kind of localizing and creating pages for the Latin American market when I was at a previous company. And from there, when we had a lot of success, we moved to China, and I have no idea how to speak Chinese. And even the characters are completely different. So I had no idea if the work that was being done was good or not. And so I had to find good people to trust there. And it was quite a jump, a leap of faith, I'd say, to go into languages you have no idea. I mean, it's different when you speak some of it. At least you can kind of get it and understand it, but totally different language, very difficult. So if you are looking to do a global SEO strategy, how do you start that? If, let's say there's somebody who's listening right now, maybe they've got one or two localizations, but they're really thinking about growing bigger. How do you start that SEO strategy for multinational?
It's a really interesting question. And I think that perhaps there's even a pre-step to getting into the SEO technicalities, if you will. I think that one of the biggest parts is understanding just the priorities in general. So where can you bring back that investment or that action that you want to actually get to? Because one of the easiest pitfalls is really having too many things to choose from. So SEO, it already contains a lot of things, right, that you can choose to do your focus here or there. So choosing your priorities and sticking to them, I think, is pretty much pre-step one. The second part is really understanding the scalability of your operation. So sometimes it's easy to tweet 1, 10, 20 pages. But if you're starting to think internationally, you're talking about exponential of every single page. So understanding if you have the capacity to, and the capabilities to really maintain a certain level of execution across, it's quite important. And probably I would also think a lot about wider capabilities within the company. So to give you, what do I mean with that? It's in specific, what can the company do? Where is it located? What kind of resources does it have that are not necessarily to SEO or even marketing, but that you have access to? Do we have experts in business? Do we have experts in different topics that you want to create content for? So that brings me back different to an experience within Uber when we were trying to launch an experiment in Japan. And turns out that there are three types of Japanese writing. So there is one that it's mostly focusing to newer words, say, I don't want to say westernized, but perhaps words that didn't exist when the language was created, like computer, burgers, for example, is not necessarily something that would take you back in ages in Japan. So there's a specific way of writing that, and we were trying to understand how to optimize and make a clear difference between what type of language we were going to use in the experiment or not. And we were never going to get to it. The mechanic translations or generally machine translations do not tell you, hey, you're actually writing something different here. There's a nativity difference there. And we went from the entire funnel of, do we hire an expert? Do we hire an agency to help us out filling this gap? Turned out that the answer was, let's just contact somebody at Uber Japan. And probably they will be able to tell us this thing. And it was literally at a very simple exercise. They were able to explain as well, yeah, this is my language, so I can tell you this thing. So not shying away from understanding the muscle of the place that you work for. It's quite important. And probably within that as well, this is perhaps rediscovering fire, but not all countries are the same. And I think that applies also to keywords. The keywords, it will be perhaps simplistic to say that every keyword has an actual replacement in every language. I don't think that's the case. Sometimes there are way different things that they mean. And for example, grocery shop, it has a funny machine translation that in California means something, in everywhere else, it means something else. So it's quite interesting to explore that part. And then the final part is really about knowing what kind of data and low-hanging fruits can you detect. So going internationally can lead you into making big bets without necessarily knowing if that's the right path and then it will stick. So definitely being able to measure the small actions, it's quite important. And what do I mean with measuring? So for example, keyword research is really important to understand that you're looking at the real volumes and you're understanding really if those volumes have the same intention across different nationalities. Because again, intent changes. Even if the word is a one-to-one pair, it's important to always evaluate these things individually, at least in the planning phases, right? Like when you're starting to see what to do now.
Yeah, I know. So you're saying key things here, look at what your company's strengths are. Maybe they have resources that you can take advantage of to create some low-hanging fruit for you. Also look at the data and see where those quick opportunities are for wins. I know when I was first doing testing new markets in SEO, we'd run PPC campaigns first and just try to set up a landing page in that language, run PPC campaigns and see what kind of lead volume we got in off of that. And based on that, we decided to then invest more resources into it. That was fine for a smaller company, but I think in a larger organization like what you're describing, you have access to greater resources there. And so you can look through the data, you can look at, you know, where you have these people in your organization who could help you, like you said, in Japan, look at it from a human perspective. Make that better.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that there's a lot of considerations that you have to balance when you're doing SEO. So you're talking about one, localizing the content, and then what about also making it internationally accessible? So how do you balance those two needs when you're making your strategy?
That is interesting, because I think that one of the biggest temptations is, we already have that content, I can make business across, I can just like put it out there. But I think that some of the biggest consideration is really start from the ROI point of view. Does it really make sense for you to bring the content in there? Because it requires a lot of effort. So you will have to deal with costly translations that one way or the other will have to be curated by someone that knows SEO, or is not really about just content. So ROI, it's something that I would always look into, as well about how well can you maintain the content and start thinking about ways of maintaining that content. I've always felt that the product and or the data can be precisely that maintenance strategy. So to give you an example, there's a way in Uber Eats in specific, the data is the one that is refreshing the content. So because the burger count changes, because the ratings work, and then that changes the actual wording that goes into the website. So thinking about scalable ways to actually maintain that content, and if you can actually get it done, it's definitely, as you say, it's a balancing act. And that would be my biggest focus. What is the most programmatic or the most automated way in which the job can get itself done? And that can lead me to very interesting places, which I think is what led us to generative AI and the leverage to do marketing with. Because, well, crunching numbers is not fun. At least for an SEO, I would like to think.
Yeah.
It's something that is repeatable, and creating this repeatable ways in which your website can be maintained probably will help you to find that sweet spot between localization and scalability, or like making the content accessible. Now, I think that segmentation matters as well. So it makes me think about lobster rolls. Definitely ranking for lobster roll here in the UK versus in Boston, it would be quite a different challenge, I would think, and it would require different weapons. So really understanding how much of an effort you really have to take for a specific market makes a lot of sense. Really reading the local competitivity of that, I'm not sure if that even makes sense, but there are certain keywords that it might make sense to stay away from in the beginning, precisely because it will take you paths where it will limit your expansion, it will limit your competitiveness. So I think that it's a balancing act, and understanding where the biggest opportunity is will kind of help you navigate some of these questions.
Yeah, that point you brought up first of ROI, really important. There is a client of ours, uses our software, they do translation to over 70 different locales, so different languages and regions within those languages. And we came to them and said, hey, here's this partner of ours we think might be a good fit for you, does kind of all machine translations and stuff, would speed up your process, because they often complain to us, it just takes forever for us to localize everything. And when we talked to them about that, they're like, the reason they didn't end up going with it, they're like, the cost is just too much. A lot of these products for them, the ROI just wasn't high enough to justify the added cost of bringing that agency in to do that for them. And so if you're able to understand, you know, what the value of each of these products are, you can get a better idea of like, all right, maybe this one, we can employ extra resources there because the profits you're making off of it are high enough, it's worth putting in those resources. But it's not really a one size fits all, I found, at least with the clients that we've worked with. Sometimes they're like, this product, we just basically need it out there, but we don't make enough money off it, maintain it as well.
Yeah, definitely. It makes me think about an experience, precisely working in Hong Kong, where we were using certain translation services to make the content of a credit card page in Cantonese. And it was really interesting that we went through editors and like language experts and these kinds of things. And ultimately, the problem was on the localization, meaning that it would read Cantonese, it was Cantonese, but it was essentially like a description in a book or in a glossary, in a dictionary. Something that was not particularly helpful, something that it was not particularly speaking to a customer normally. And all it took was essentially an intern that helped us out to say like, hey, this is okay for a pamphlet, but not necessarily they're trying to do marketing with it. So I think that it rings a bell precisely understanding how sometimes that ROI can just be there, if trying to do certain kind of practical approaches to things. And I think that as Google has been becoming more complex, I guess, like the algorithm is definitely not less complex than before. Understanding more of these contexts, these localized words and this local context that it's within certain expressions or certain ways to search for things, it definitely creates a challenge of balancing the usage and leverage of technology in general to generate content and how much actual human input you need to have, because it can be the key to hit that quality level that we require to actually perform both internationally and locally.
Yeah. So you mentioned, you know, the intern in your story, you know, helping you make those slight adjustments so that it read better. What role does market research help you in being able to do SEO across countries and cultures? Is beyond having an employee in that area, forget it and say, hey, this is bad or good. How about the research stage?
I think that that's extremely important. And precisely as the machine is becoming to understand a lot more of human behavior and context, it's more important that you feed yourself with what is precisely the insights that you can get from behaviors, preferences, limitations to access certain things that can help you to understand different pitfalls. One of the biggest learnings that I've had during my career was realizing how a blanket approach can make you miss the actual goal of your objective, and trying to understand that it's the same everywhere. It's just not the real answer. So at certain point, I co-founded an agency a lifetime ago. We were working with a client that wanted to deploy into Taiwan. And the simplest thing was this, the meaning of a color. And generally within Taiwan, the blue is not necessarily a color that you want to make a lot of emphasis for. And we completely missed. The content was fantastic. The website worked. It was fast. It was great, connected. There was a great strategy behind it. Super authoritative, created by experts. But it just simply didn't stick to people. It was not something that people were pleased to see. It didn't really matter how good it was. We were not able to get it there. So that kind of pitfalls is probably something that you can avoid by understanding where do you want Google marketing. Because at the end, I think that SEO and generally marketing is about connecting to the customer and really understanding what do they need, what do they want. And without the context about how does it feel to be there, it's quite important. And it resonates probably as well, you know, an attempt to walk into this helpful content world where it's not really about what is the most optimized or the best content itself. It's really what is the best content for you in this local insurance specific. So yeah, I think it's step one, definitely understanding where you're going and playing to those strengths of the culture and the insights that you can get from people in the place.
So where would be some resources that you might get that market research that you needed ahead of time, ahead of starting SEO in a different region or a different language?
That's an interesting question. I would definitely start with Google. I know that this is a little bit redundant, but understanding really what is today in that country, in that location, it's quite important about what is trendy. I think that some regular resources around the news and the media coverage can be slightly deceptful, but really understanding about guides, local guides in specific, I think there is a really, really good resource for that. Now with people having access to publishing immediately to the world, it's quite useful to understand really what is going on in every corner if you really wanted to find out. So not shying away from social media in a healthy, filtered, perhaps way, if you will, and being there. Probably the best way to understand a place is just to be there. I know that this may be a challenge, obviously, when you're looking at distances, budgets, you know, life, etc. But nothing really teaches you than living and breathing with the people there. One very good example is now that I'm in London, I understand the struggle with the weather. I never got it when I was living outside, but you know, having an umbrella with you 24/7 is just a given. It's your morning ritual. Part of your morning ritual has to be to check the weather and see how it's going to change actually throughout the day. That has consequences for the business. To give you an example, Uber. When it rains, there are less Uber available, and therefore the prices are higher for every single one that just continues going. So understanding how the weather behaves in this country can actually maximize profits in terms of what is the price flexibility and really what times to attack. The other one is, if we were selling umbrellas, we will probably be prioritizing this country. And again, everybody knows, or everywhere in the internet would read how opinionated it is about London weather. But until you're not here and you get wet without a warning,
yeah,
it's not a lesson learned. Yeah,
I laugh at that, Luis, because my wife lived in London for several years and she's told me a lot about the weather. She loves it there, but she said, yeah, it was very changeable. So interesting.
Yes, it is. You have to walk out with a suitcase, basically.
Yeah.
You have shorts, you have your rainy boots and all of it.
So another tactical question, what tactics would you recommend out there for overcoming common challenges and going international on your SEO?
I think that it would be quite important to, obviously we're talking about getting in there, but getting in there on the local SEO scene specific. There's definitely not a shortage of support and groups and distribution list websites that cater for a market in specific that they probably have a lot of understanding about the behavior, the level of competition, really understanding what are the tips and tricks that can help you out within that very specific location. I think that reaching out and creating a network into the places that we want to be actively working is just something really healthy, not only for the projects or for the companies themselves, but also personally and professionally. It's not as niche as we sometimes believe. It's definitely something that is well out there and there are really good local scenes to get knowledge from. And second part, I would always think about getting some friends in your priority locations. And what I mean friends is friends.
Yes.
Someone that can totally tell you this is crazy, this doesn't really work out. And to give you an example, my wife, she's from Germany, and I was working for a couponing website. So localizing discounts in Germany is also quite an art, mostly because there's a lot of interest. They're very savvy shoppers in Germany. And it was quite interesting about all the different variations that you could add just one single letter into there would just make a whole new word.
Oh, yeah.
And being able to get that feedback from her raw and direct, like, that makes absolutely no sense. Don't write it. So getting friends in there is something that I would say. And probably the last part that comes to mind is diving into the local competitors themselves. So I've been recently looking into the yoga space, for example, and it's one that has a lot of global coverage. There could be a massive company just doing yoga globally, but there's also a lot of local competition from there that are very well optimized within the local pack, that are actually quite famous and are dragging quite a lot of the community within their fence. So I think that doubling down on really a hard look into how priority locations can give you different levels of competition. It's quite interesting. You may be optimizing the wrong snippets. You may be putting out there the wrong time, the wrong level of detail. That's what comes to mind.
Yeah. Get local friends who can give you truthful advice and look at the local competition. Great advice. Well, switching to your own career, Luis, if you could go back in time, meet yourself when you just started out in your career, what one piece of advice would you give yourself?
That's a very good question. I would probably say, get ready. It's a bumpy ride. I think that SEO is something that it's so live, it's so changing.
Yes.
It's really dynamic. The way that we do SEO today, back to when I started, it's just completely different. It has nothing to do with it. And probably the second thing that I would say is also keep up with the tech, because really it's important that the technology that you use and the methods that you use evolve alongside that strategy, alongside that the algorithm itself, probably. But yeah, getting ready, it's probably the one that I would strongly point at.
Give us nice. Absolutely. It's funny, over the course of your career, you typically learn some things and change your points of view a little bit. But SEO as a career, I have yet to meet one person who's been in the business for 10 years or more who they started out in SEO. Everyone started out with something different and found their way into SEO over time. And so they learned things along the way, but they came from a different background. And there's parts of that background that show in the way they do SEO and the way they think the processes. So appreciate your taking your time to lay out some of those insights that you've gained over your career. If people want to reach out to you afterwards, connect, chat, how would they best reach you?
definitely LinkedIn would be the best source. Just Luis Rodriguez there, head of SEO at Compare the Market. And I'll always be happy to pick up any messages and conversation.
Awesome. Luis, thank you so much for your time and for your insights. Really appreciate it. It's been very helpful.
Thank you, Jonathan. See you later.
Cutting Edge Web Content Development is brought to you by Butter CMS. To find out how you can build better with Butter, stop wasting dev time, and free your marketers from your legacy CMS, visit buttercms.com. Also, make sure to search for Cutting Edge Web Content Development in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Butter CMS, thank you for listening.